Hi, it's Stephen Colbert, and I'm here to tell you about The Late Show Pod Show, which is the podcast of The Late Show with me, Stephen Colbert, and I'm here with my producer of the podcast, Becca. Hi, Becca.
Hi, Stephen.
So what do people get when they listen to The Late Show Pod Show? Let's sell this thing.
The extended moments, for sure, because we run out of time for broadcast, but we have plenty of time on the podcast.
It's kind of like being a live audience member of the show because you get things that no one else hears. Listen to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert wherever you get your podcasts.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hello, I'm Rob Beckett.
And I'm Josh Widdicombe.
Welcome to Parenting Hell, the show in which Josh and I discuss what it's really like to be a parent, which I would say can be a little tricky.
So, to make ourselves, and hopefully you, feel better about the trials and tribulations of modern-day parenting, each week we'll be chatting to a famous parent about how they're coping.
Or hopefully how they're not coping.
And we'll also be hearing from you, the listener, with your tips, advice and, of course, tales of parenting woe.
Because let's be honest, there are plenty of times when none of us know what we're doing. Hello, you're listening to Parenting Hell with...
Rudy, can you say Rob Beckett?
Rob Beckett,
Can you say Josh Widdicombe?
Yes, Josh Widdicombe.
Good boy, well done.
There we go. Rudy, great name.
I reckon they've got a dog, because that was a very good boy. A dog kind of good boy. Good
yeah,
boy.
Where are they from, Rob?
Oh, Ryslip.
Norfolk.
Fuck.
Fucking one day. One day. How are you? Are you doing all right?
Yeah, all right. Yeah, a little bit calmer in the house now. So, yeah, all good.
Good,
but yeah,
good.
Busy
good.
Week, but we got there. No, yeah, a lot better now. Thanks for asking, Josh. Lou's feeling much better, so get good, in there. Good. Get good. In there. You all right?
Yeah, I weigh a lot working.
You weigh a lot? What have you been eating? Oh, I weigh a lot.
Do you know what, Rob?
Yeah.
Do you want to hear something pathetic?
Go on.
But it ends with a lovely bit of wordplay.
Okay.
So the week before the Palladium, because I'm recording that. So for the week before, I was like, I'm gonna really trim down in these 7 days, which is obviously not going to happen.
You're on a weight cut for your filming.
Yeah, I'm on a weight cut for my filming.
Yeah.
So I got some Huel dinner meal replacement powder.
Yep.
And a bag of oats.
A bag of oats? What a fucking cow.
Yeah. And then I opened my suitcase in the hotel. They'd both exploded, right? And I said to myself, like out loud, I went, oh, there's Huel and oats everywhere. And then I was like, Huel and oats, like Hall and Oats, the band.
Huel and oats. You make my dreams come true.
And I really laughed as I was cleaning Huel and Oates off all of my clothes. I was thinking, this is a hilarious situation.
That's a wonderful pun.
It's a wonderful accidental pun.
And you know it's a new pun because Huel is quite new.
Yeah, exactly. No one's done that before.
That's a great pun. Huel and Oates everywhere.
There was Huel and Oates everywhere. So there we go.
My mum and dad are coming to see you, Josh.
Oh, Rob, I'm stressed about that.
Margate, I think they might have seen you by the time this goes out.
Do you know what? I find it stressful when people I know are there. Don't you?
A little bit.
It's all I can think about.
Way less than I used to.
Really?
Yes, massively so, because it is what it is. You can't do anything. If you could, because obviously you want to do well in front of people you know.
Yeah.
So if you could click your fingers and it'd be a brilliant show, you would for every show. But that's not possible. So what's the point in thinking about it? Also as well, Josh, imagine if you found this little magic potion, you drank it, every show you did was perfect and every word you said just worked and you had this perfect script that worked every single time and the crowd laughed and every night got standing ovation and was exactly the same but perfect. Everyone left.
But what does the potion do?
You just look really sexy. Would you? And you took that potion and it never changed. It was always the same show. You wouldn't take that potion. Life would be so boring.
It would. It would.
After about a week, you'd love it for a week. And then you go, what is the fucking point? I'm dying of boredom here.
Oh, but do you know what, Rob? I am drifting off during the show a bit at points because I do know it so well.
At least you've got something in common with the audience now.
Hey, here we go.
Oh, I'm back on fire. Right, do you want an Instagram?
Yeah, why not? Do you want to do an email?
I'll tell you what, I'll do an Instagram, you do an email, and then we'll introduce our guest.
Yeah.
I'm just listening to Series 4, Episode 5.
Have we done four series?
I've got no idea, mate. That means nothing to me. but it's lovely to be specific. Series 4, Episode 5. We talk about midwives faking birth certificates for sweepstakes. So this was when people running a sweepstake for the date of birth of their kid, and I said, if you had, like, the fifth and it was born, you could just ask her to change it. Anyway, my daughter, now 15, was born 5 minutes after midnight, the day after her due date. In my drug state, after the birth, the midwife somehow managed to convince me to put down her birth date down as the due date, as it was less paperwork for them. So her birth certificate says she was born at 23:59 on her due date, but she was actually born the following day 5 minutes later. To this day, Rachel doesn't know she was actually born a day later. What was I thinking?
Oh, my word. Do you know my gran? She didn't know whether her birthday was August the 9th or 10th. She just didn't know. It was
really?
It was a point of debate within the family. They just couldn't remember, or they just kind of lost track.
She never knew
whether her birthday was August the 9th or 10th.
Well, if there's anyone listening that doesn't know when their birthday is, let us know.
Yeah.
There must be people. No idea. We're trying to find out for you.
Yeah.
Do some inquiries. We've got some contacts.
Do you know what I've realised, Rob? You know when we talk about... And I hope no one's shagging at the moment, because it's March. It's the time
you shouldn't be shagging in March.
Don't shag in March. You know what you're doing. Rose's birthday is, for me, too close to Mother's Day.
Oh, when is it?
It was 2 weeks before.
Yeah, that is annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're like, oh God.
So me and Lou, when we first started going out, her birthday's like the 18th of June. But
and that's what attracted you to her.
Yeah, I love that. I just love the 18th.
Perfect distance from Christmas.
Yeah. No, it was 18th of June, and then but we'd started dating properly, I think, like after she came back from Glastonbury 1 year, which is around that time, isn't it? So it worked out that our first date was like the 20th of June.
Yeah.
So that then before you get married, that's your sort of anniversary date, isn't it? You sort of do it from then. And then, but Lou went, oh, what are we doing for our anniversary? I was like, oh, well, it's your birthday. She should go out to school. Well, no, but then we're not having an anniversary, are we? So then she just invented a new anniversary.
What, she's like the Queen?
Yeah. But then that fell by the wayside, and now it's October time when we got married.
Yeah.
But for a bit, we had to just pretend it was like July.
Yeah.
Just so we could have an anniversary. Oh, it's a bit cheeky,
isn't it? You know in your heart it's not your anniversary. You're sat there going, oh, bloody hell, 4 years ago today, eh? We're a month in. We're still excited 4 years ago today.
Still excited for life.
And you know what's awful, Rob?
What's that?
Start a relationship, and you're not sure if it's a relationship, and then a big thing, a birthday or a Valentine's Day comes along in the first month or two.
Oh, because you don't want to be shit, but you don't want to go overboard. That is a nightmare.
It's such a difficult situation.
Yeah, what do you do?
What do you do in that? Christmas the same. It basically makes you go, I've got to evaluate now, in present form, where our relationship has got to. We've got to our guest now, Rob.
Oh, dear. Oh, it's a great episode, this, to be fair.
Yeah, it is incredible. He's such a lovely bloke. And it's such an incredible story.
All preconceptions of Premier League footballers put to one side. He's a really good man and a good family man. And he's going to be a credit to the Championship next year when he plays in it with Burnley.
Oh, come on now, Rob.
Too harsh. I think Burnley might stay up.
I hope so. I'm supporting them now.
I look out for their results after speaking to Ben, because he's such a lovely bloke. Really interesting story is second child was very early, wasn't it? Very premature.
Yeah, so I should give a trigger warning.
Yes.
There's a discussion of premature birth here.
Yes.
So, but he's absolutely, he's brilliant on the subject. And, well, here he is, Ben Mee.
Ben Mee. Hello and welcome, Ben Mee, to the podcast. We're very excited. Professional footballer, plays for Burnley FC. You love sport, don't you, Josh? And we've got a proper sportsman.
Let's start with what everyone wants to know. How many keepy uppies can you do, Ben?
Well, thanks for having me. The last time I counted was when I was about 14, I think. 1,157.
Blimey.
No answer. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I had my mate counting me on the street.
Oh, that's a good friend. Ben, I've interviewed a lot of, well, Josh has as well, a lot of athletes, a lot of sports people. Especially, I did a podcast called The Magic Sponge with Jimmy Bullard. And I feel like with footballers, it's quite weird. There's sort of two very, I don't know where you are on the spectrum, because you have the Jimmy Bullard end, sort of like the Lee Hendry sort of mad sort of end. And then I also interviewed Joe Jordan, who I would say is one of the most intimidating and scariest men I've ever met. I don't know if you've ever worked or met Joe Jordan, but he terrified the hell out of me. So I'm trying to work out that where you fit in the Joe Jordan, Jimmy Bullard sort of middle area.
I think Joe Jordan's been on the sideline a couple of times when I've played. And he sort of stands there and sort of tries to be that intimidating character. But no, I'm not nothing like that. I'm not like Jimmy Bullard. Yeah, happy middle, I think. Maybe more not towards Bullard, to be fair, probably a bit the other way. So
We should say
for our listeners that you've got kids. They'll be mad if we went, and you haven't got any kids, so we're just gonna talk about Burnley.
Let's just chat, boy.
You signed a good player from Wolfsburg, haven't you?
Right, Rob, focus.
Sorry. Okay, there's a lot of mums and dads out there absolutely furious with me going through the... He's got a great record. That's what I'm saying. For 12 million, I'll take him at Arsenal.
He's a giant. He'll fit in well with us.
Is he? Is he massive? Oh, you love a massive bloke at Burnley. Well, let's calm down off the football chat. Let's talk about kids. What's your kids set up at home, Ben?
So I've got a little boy who's 3. He's 4 next month. So,
yeah.
Planning a birthday party for him. And we've got a little girl who's 20 months. Yeah, she's causing havoc at the minute, running riot.
Can't
take your eyes off her for a second at the minute. So
is that that age where they just sort of grab everything? They know what no is, but they've got no respect for it.
She's got no sense of danger or anything. You know, climbing on the back of sofas, in cupboards, pulling stuff out of cupboards. You know, you're trying to catch him and... we're just in the process of getting some things on the cupboards to stop her from going in. So.
Oh, I imagine as well you've got a massive footballer house, so you'll have loads of cupboards. They're more difficult. The price of being a footballer.
Well, I play for Burnley, so it's not that massive.
Yeah, a bit different, maybe. Okay, fair enough.
And how's the planning of the 4-year-old's birthday party going?
It's going okay. I don't know if you know Blaze and the Monster Machine, but...
No, what's that? Blaze and the Monster Machine sounds like some sort of drug deal.
Yeah, it's some monster trucks. And actually, he's not been watching it. He's been watching Peppa Pig recently.
Oh, that's the worst, isn't it? When you plan a kid's birthday, like you say, he's into Blaze and the Monster Machines. But then all of a sudden, like, you've booked it all, and you've got all the plates or whatever, and then all the toys, and then they're into Peppa Pig again. So is he off the Monster Machines, or is he still a bit into it?
He don't really watch it, yeah, but he's adamant he wants a Monster Machine party, right. So that's good.
Oh, that's good.
But he's been watching Peppa Pig and Blue's Clues. So I've been singing all the Blue's Clues songs around the training ground and that, and, you know, like whistling them, going along to them and that. So you find yourself doing that.
Do footballers talk about their kids much? Like, I remember like some quote from Cristiano Ronaldo where he was like, we just talk about our bags and our phones and our cars and stuff. But would you like sit around in the dressing room and go, yeah, he's not sleeping. What would your tips be for, like, weaning? Do you ever have those kind of conversations?
Yeah, I find it's a place to just moan about your kids a little bit in the dressing room. Some of the boys, I think we've got quite an old squad, so most of us do have kids.
Yeah.
I mean, the other young boys are just talking about gaming and stuff, and, you know, it's a lifetime away. I can't relate to that at the minute. I can't get into that.
Yeah.
We're pretty into our 30s, a lot of us, so, yeah, we're chatting about kids a little bit.
But they're still quite young, though. I mean, like, football, you know, you're only 32 and you've got, like, you know, a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old and stuff. And like, a lot of, you know, football teams are quite young squads and stuff like that. So it must be, especially now, people do have kids later, but footballers sort of do have them a bit younger, I think. It's a sort of different culture.
Yeah, I think so. I think footballers are more settled in the job, I guess. And they don't have anything else to do, so they might as well have kids. So.
Training finishes at 11.
Well, yeah, exactly. So I think footballers do settle down a little bit early. So one of our lads has got 4. He's the same age as me. He's got 4 kids. And couldn't imagine what his 20s were like.
And it was tough for you as well with your second, because she was it 16 weeks premature?
Yeah. So she was born at 24 weeks.
Bloody hell.
So, yeah, we had a sort of really touch and go with her for a little while. She was in hospital for 3.5 months.
Bloody hell.
And then she came out on oxygen. So she had oxygen in the house for a good few months after that, till the new year. So, yeah, it was quite scary. So, you know, we've got through it, and she's a really strong little girl.
Aww.
You know, a great character, like a real feisty character. And yeah, you know, we feel fortunate for, you know, the situation we're in now.
I bet.
Makes us really appreciative of having her around and sort of the dynamics of our family at the minute.
What was it like, the hospital visits? I can't even kind of comprehend what that experience was like.
It was tough. You know, you didn't know what you were going into. We rang the hospital in the morning to try and get a feel of how she was over the night. Sometimes it was good news. Sometimes it was she'd had a tough night or a rough night, and the doctor and nurse have been doing a bit of work on her. So you kind of, you did expect, I guess, what you were going into, but obviously having to go in separately was tough initially, because you were waiting to Well, Sarah mainly went in first. I let Sarah go in first, and I waited to hear how she was when Sarah come out. So I think for a couple of hours, you sat in the corridor twiddling your thumbs or trying to keep yourself busy.
God.
Yeah, it was tough.
How old was she when you first got to hold her?
3 or 4 weeks old.
Wow.
Yeah, but again, I was on our own, so we didn't get to see her together for a good few weeks after that. Still,
bloody hell.
We were always going separately, yeah. That was crazy, you know, the nurse handing her to him. She was so small. You're worried about all the wires and everything, so.
Oh, God. This is sort of off topic a little bit, and I think this is why people are so angry with all those parties going on at like Downing Street, is when you're having to go in separately and all the stress that caused you and your family, and they're in there, maybe, allegedly, getting pissed up. It's just so fucking infuriating.
I don't think you need the word allegedly, Rob.
I don't know. I'm just covering myself, mate.
Yeah, exactly that.
It's just infuriating.
Yeah, we couldn't even go in and see our son, couldn't meet her for 3.5 months as well, so that was frustrating.
How did he deal with it?
He was really good, actually. He was aware, and every time we came home, he was asking how she was, and he knew she couldn't come home, so he was just sort of waiting to see her, really, to meet her.
Yeah. God. Did you know anyone that had a premature baby, or was there any help offered, or could you reach out to anyone, or did you just get on with it on your own?
Yeah, the help-wise was difficult because it was COVID, so it was kind of new as well, and there wasn't all this Zoom chatting going on really as much.
Yeah.
And the support wasn't around the hospitals because everything was sort of locked down and really quiet around the hospitals.
Because I think I read Bernardo Silva had a premature baby, and did you speak to him a bit about that?
Yeah.
He's a Man City footballer.
He is Man City footballer, yeah.
I wasn't rubbing that in. I was just for anyone that don't know, weren't I? You know, he wins stuff.
I didn't know you're an expert, Rob.
Yeah. He's a good footballer.
No, I won't say that, just for people that don't know, he plays for Man City and Portugal. Yeah, one of the best players in the league. But anyway, Ben, back to you.
Well, our first game back was Man City, so we had like captains meeting before games with the referee and that, and just you don't say anything really, like, other than, you know, keep your team in order and that. So I just spoke to him before the game because he was their captain, I was our captain, and just mentioned to him about Olive in hospital, and I knew that he'd had a little boy, Matteo, at 24 weeks as well. So I just had a little chat with him and asked him how he was doing, because I didn't really know anyone else that early sort of thing.
Or had a child that early.
So just a bit of reassurance was nice, and for him to be doing well, he said he was doing well. So, you know, it just gave me that little bit of reassurance that things could be okay, like, at the end of it.
When did you realise this is going to be okay? Like, how many weeks into it did it kind of settle down that it was?
I think at different stages, always a worry of something else. You move on to sort of the next thing that, you know, landmarks she passes. So, whether it's her eyes or her heart or anything like that, her muscles, anything like that, sort of is a next step, a next landmark. She's overcome that. She's lower on oxygen. She's breathing better.
Oh.
So I think once she was off oxygen was the main thing. So she'd come out of hospital, but you're still worrying about the,
oh God, yeah,
the saturation levels, the oxygen and stuff. So so that was the biggest sort of worry, I think, her oxygen levels once she'd come out of hospital. So once that had gone, it was fine.
How much did she weigh when she was born?
She was 1 pound 2 ounces.
Oh my God. Whoa. 1 pound.
Yeah, she was did the
don't forget the two.
Yeah.
Blimey, 1 pound 2. Because it's like, you know, when I remember when we had kids and we brought them home to the hospital and we were very lucky there wasn't any complications, but you're still sort of seeing, you know, when they're sleeping, you go, oh, just check if their chest is still going and silly little things like that. It must have been very hard once she came off the oxygen not to, you know, now you say she's running around and she's feisty at 20 months and stuff, but do you feel a little bit more like you're double checking if she's all right still a bit, or has that calmed down now a bit? Because you could, like, for all of her life go for, oh, is she all right now because of what happened at the start?
Yeah, no, probably a bit more protective of her.
I bet.
With our little boy, it's like, yeah, go on, do what you want, jump off the sofa and that and stuff. And with her, it's a bit more like, oh, just be careful.
That first boyfriend, when he comes round, he'll be I know you.
Yeah. Or girlfriend,
sure, or girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, you're right, we'll be a bit more protective of her than probably Jackson, yeah. So.
And how does it work with long-term development? So when she was 16 weeks, is she then at the stage which, say, if she'd been born on schedule, that she would have been, or does it affect long-term kind of development and growth and stuff?
Yeah, I think it affects it long-term, especially for the first couple of years of her life. So she's 20 months now, which is probably, I'd say, 16 months, maybe a bit more, 17 months development-wise.
Of course, yeah.
So, yeah, so she's a little bit behind, but I think a determination, you can see it coming through her. I think that'll carry her well.
Yeah.
Well, Tyson Fury. What was Tyson Fury, Rob?
Well, his dad tells a story, and I don't know if you've heard much from Big John Fury, but he says a lot of things. But he says he weighed a pound and he could fit in his hand, but he was, I don't know, he was premature. But I can't remember how many months, but yeah, he was premature. He's 6'9", you know, well, heavyweight champion of the world, you know. But yeah. It's weird though, because actually she was is it 4 months early, basically, she was?
Yeah, almost 4 months, yeah.
So yeah, she's going to be behind because she should have been born 4 months later, so then she'd been at the right level. So it's weird. I was like, well, what point do you sort of age them? You know what I mean? Because they've sort of been born, but not been born, if you know what I mean? Because they're sort of, it's almost like a sort of, they're recreating the womb almost, aren't they, to keep them going at that age. Was that, you know, the oxygen and stuff?
Yeah, basically the incubator, the oxygen.
That's the word
the
I was looking for.
Yeah.
Pathetically scrambling around. Someone help me and say the word, please. Someone say the word. I'm talking about something serious. Help me.
I think that's what they recreate. The feeding tube and everything. So I guess that's the idea.
With the kind of development, those early months before the due date, is it just mainly sleeping and stuff? Because obviously the first couple of weeks after that due date, the baby sleeps a lot and all that kind of stuff. What's the kind of conscious state in that situation?
Pretty much asleep most of the time when you go and visit. Yeah, they're very much asleep and just really calm. I can't really remember the exact time when she sort of started to be more alert and aware, because it all sort of rolls into one. And you know, without going back over the pictures and that, it's difficult. But once she's come out of the incubator and she's actually in a cot, and I think that was sort of about maybe 5 weeks before she came home. She got moved to a cot, so that was a big moment.
Yeah, I bet.
And then she's keeping you up all night, and you're going, I can't believe this. It's just so much easier when she was in the hospital. What's going on?
No, you're right. But it was great to have her home. But yeah, no, she actually slept all right.
Oh, really?
Because I think she got into a routine. The nurses got her into a routine at the hospital.
Yeah, they did the work for you.
She was a lot better than our first one. So there we go. Yeah. We were buzzing with her. But we never want it to happen again. So,
of course, yeah. But then you're allowed to, you know, find positives out of things. You know, it's not always always the negatives. But it's amazing, though. It's just, it's been so tough. You know, obviously you were able to, you know, take your mind off it a bit by playing football and stuff. What about your wife? Was she working at the time, or was she off work or not working? How was she coping? Because it's harder when there isn't something. You know, you can always go, oh, go out and see your friends or whatever. But you had to be switched on if you're playing a game of football. And if you don't have to be, it's hard to switch off. How was she?
And don't forget, it was hard to see your friends at that time anyway.
Yeah, of course,
you couldn't even go and see anybody. So. Yeah.
Unless your friend was Boris Johnson.
Oh, I know, it's so fucking... I'm not. It didn't really even directly happen to me, but it's so fucking angry. The poor people had to go through all this and the fucking... I mean, also, the party looked shit anyway, didn't it? It didn't look like a good one in there.
Yeah. I don't want to see ABBA with Carrie Simmons. I don't even...
Imagine breaking lockdown for a fucking ABBA party. Fuck off. I think I'd have more respect if he opened up like Spearmint Rhino with 20 mates. Do you know what I mean? Went for it, hell for leather. ABBA with all your wife's mates? Come on, Boris. That's not worth the fine, is it? Sorry, Ben.
Sorry, Ben. Talking to people about and stuff was via Zoom and stuff. Like, that must have been so frustrating.
Yeah, no, it was. It was frustrating. But my wife got a bit of support from some of the hospital care unit.
Yeah.
She works for herself in general. So, but obviously she's off work when she's had a baby and everything anyway. So it's tough. It's tough. We found, obviously trying to talk about as much between ourselves beneficial. We had Jackson who kept our mind busy, and that was a big benefit that we had in there.
They're great distraction kids, aren't they?
Exactly.
It'd be horrible if it was your first kid and you're just at home waiting. It's horrible, you know. Yeah, but they're great for that, kids. They're just complete distractions.
No, but it was tough. It was tough. It was a time of, you can only do so many Zoom quizzes with your family, can't you? I guess.
Did none. I made a rule of it, none.
Mate, I wish I'd done none.
I just tapped out at the beginning. I was like, no, it's not going to help me. It's a stressful time, and doing a quiz with my in-laws is not going to help.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. When you want the best, you have to act fast, especially when hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people before the competition scoops them up. And the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds top talent fast. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Spotify. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
We just got back from Centre Parks at the weekend, so recovering from that. I don't know if you've ever done it. Have you ever done Centre Parks?
Yeah, it's great.
Centre Parks.
I do. Like, I'm a big fan of Centre. I used to go Butlins as a kid, so I feel like I'm cheating on Billy.
I'm the same, yeah. Buttons, yeah.
Lou's family love it. But it is good, to be fair. All the water park stuff's great. They love all that. So it's great for kids.
Yeah, love all that. It's great fun. It's hard graft, though, isn't it? It's hard.
Okay. Yeah, hard it ain't easy. It's not. Well, especially when you've got them both in a trailer and you're biking up an hill. It's carnage,
exactly,
isn't
that's
it?
Exactly what I was doing.
It's awful,
exactly,
isn't it?
What I was doing. Oh man!
Surely you've got stronger legs than Rob, though, haven't
you?
You
know what? I've got. I'm not suggesting that I've got stronger legs than Ben Mee, but I've got pretty strong thighs. That's all I'm saying, because it has to carry this mess on top all round, basically.
Have you done that machine in the gym, Rob, where you like push with your legs the weights?
the leg press.
The leg press.
I'm all right at that, but I'm not suggesting that I've got stronger legs than Ben Mee. But what I'm saying is, it is a workout.
But you're not ruling it out.
All I'm saying is, two-year-old kid is heavier than you think. Yeah. And then when you're trying to get it round a corner and you're going up an hill with the trailer. So what did you do at Setup Parks? What activities were you doing?
We got there on a Friday and then we had a fun-filled morning on a Saturday. Bumped in.
Yep, lovely.
We had a bit of football, the little man.
Yeah.
And then I took him to archery. My wife took a little girl to some messy play class. And
yeah,
my little man, he knows how to push my buttons a little bit. You know when I'm getting a bit frustrated and he's not doing something? It'll just keep going with it. Keep going, winding me up. So he was doing that in the archery, not holding his arm up. And I'm trying to put the bow in, trying to get the bow.
And he's doing it on purpose.
And he's just like, his arm going limp and that and stuff. And by the end of it, it was like five toddlers of me doing archery at the end. So, but yeah, then on the way back, we had the dog with us as well. So we had to go and fetch the dog. We didn't have the bike, so we had the scooter. We're going up this hill. He didn't want to scoot up this hill.
Yeah.
So I'm like, right, I've got the scooter. And I didn't want to walk up the hill, so he wanted me to carry. I'm like, I can't carry. I've got the two scooter, you know, everything in my hands. And
do you have the dog as well?
Yeah, we took the dog with us. That's a mistake.
You've had a nightmare.
Yeah, so. But anyway, he's not walking up this hill even. And he doesn't want to walk on the path. He wants to walk on the other side of the barrier. I'm like, right. So I walk off, you know, thinking he'll follow me and that and stuff. And then I turn around next minute. He's falling in a bush, and this woman's trying to get him out of this bush, like, down the hill. And I'm like, and she's shouting, he's landing in nettles, he's in nettles.
Oh,
and
that.
And
I'm
losing it. I'm like, oh, yeah. So anyway, I felt like the worst parent in the world at the minute, so at that time, at that moment, yeah.
That's a tough age to take him away, 4 and 2. It's not. Because they're too young to let him play in the water and stuff. But when you can go to a holiday with a swimming pool, 6 and 4, mine are, and that is the first time we've been able to sort of relax on a holiday. Sorry to break that to you. You've got 2 more years of hell.
It's much easier than me. I've got 4 more years of hell, so...
It's good content.
I said to my wife, getting a glimpse over the sort of the trenches. I feel like we've been in the trenches for a couple of years, and I just getting a glimpse over it, sort of. But you're not quite out of it.
Your son's still in the trench, covered in nettles, but you're out of it with the dog up the hill.
Yeah.
So that was your winter break from the football.
Yeah, half the Premier League were in Maldives and Dubai, and I was rocking up a hill in Centre Park with two kids on my back. So,
have you thought about renegotiating a contract, Ben?
Well, yeah, I might think about it.
Yeah, I don't really want to go into negotiations with Sean Dyche. He looks a bit scary. He thinks he's funny, doesn't he, Sean Dyche? He has a few quips, doesn't he?
He does think he's funny,
Do you think he did used to eat worms?
I've seen him put a worm in his mouth,
Have you?
All right, he's eating worms just for banter.
That was early days. It was in his early days, not before.
Not now, he's matured. He don't eat worms no more.
What's it like, because as a footballer, you've got quite a lot of free time, that's the perception. I don't know whether that's true. Does that mean you get to do quite a lot of parenting? Like, you get to spend a lot of time with your kids?
Yeah, I'm lucky because I live where I'm from, sort of thing. So I live with my family. Some of the lads don't live with the families. They live a bit far away, you know, and commute quite a lot. So they're commuting 2-3 hours, some of them, to football. So I get to drop the little man off at nursery or kindergarten, as they call it, or preschool.
Yeah.
And it gets training, and then sometimes I can get back and pick him up sometimes at 3:30. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know, I'm lucky to do that. I know I am. So.
Has he been to see you play?
Yeah, he loves it. Obviously, not through lockdown and all the shutdown and that. But when he first came, it was the only time he'd sit still, really, was at the football. He's always on the go, but he'd actually sit there and watch the football and take it in. And yeah, he loves going now. So.
Oh, wow.
And was you a natural when you started playing? Was that sort of mapped out for you, your career in football, or...?
No, I've had to work damn hard for it.
No, but like, you know, some people, it's sort of like, you know, you work hard, but it's sort of quite clear from an early age that they've got ability and talent and stuff. Or was you the other way?
Yeah, I used to love playing football, just out on the street as a kid with my friends, just not taking it too seriously. And then, went from there and enjoyed it and wanted to do it more and more.
Do you think that's where he's heading? Would you want him to be a footballer or would you rather him something else?
I'm not bothered, I don't really... I know how hard it is to become a footballer. And for me, just if he enjoys it, he enjoys it. But I'm trying to get into all sorts of sports, taking playing tennis and doing all sorts of other things as well, other than just trying to focus on one thing.
And what about your daughter? Actually, she's two years old. But can you...
Yeah.
I would think, like, with my daughter, who isn't as... You can just tell that my son is so much more active and so much more kind of rough and tumble already at 9 months. Can you tell, like, what she's like as a character?
Yeah, I think she's tougher than Jackson, I think. Tougher than the son, like, really determined. She's been kicking a football. She watches us kick a football around, so she's there trying to kick the football as well. So she just gets involved and gets stuck in. And I think her attitude is a little bit similar to myself. Yeah, just get on with it.
Do you go on play dates with other footballers?
We have done, yeah. We've been to a few birthday parties, yeah. A few birthday parties. And
who's in your little parenting crew?
So I've got Nick Pope down the road from me. He's got a couple of kids similar age to myself. Matt Lowton, he's got quite a few kids.
Quite a few kids.
I lost count.
He's gone with four, so.
Yeah. Oh, God, that is... Are you going to do any more or two enough for you? Four's too many, isn't it?
Yeah, I think after our experience that we've just had, I think we'll just see how it goes. Yeah, there's no pressure from me to have any more.
You're quite happy. You're quite chilled. I just googled Matt Lowton, and a little did she a picture of him with his kid came up immediately. That's how many kids he's got. Yeah. He actually comes up the same amount of times as him playing football.
Yeah, the great kids, really nice family.
And obviously, being the kids of a Premier League footballer, obviously you are very not just a normal bloke. It seems, unlike the sort of media's description of what a Premier League footballer's like, very sort of sensible and non-flashy and stuff like that. Do you think it's unfair? It's sort of like an unfair description of what they are for their kids to see. You know, if you're the son of a Premier League footballer, you automatically assume a certain lifestyle and things you've done. Where the reality is, he's in a ditch covered in nettles. So it's very...
they don't know the reality, so yeah. I mean, I think you take your sort of view off the ones that put themselves out there a lot and aren't watching and stuff, but there are a lot of others that are just, you know, really normal, down to earth people that just get on with things and do everyday normal things. So I think the ones you see that are on the news and in the press and on social media a lot and putting themselves out there, you know, they give off the sort of vibe that that's what we're all like, but like you say, deep down we're all just dads and trying to get on with our kids. So.
I think as well, at his age at the moment, he's sort of a bit like, obviously it's exciting that you're a footballer and stuff, but he's not like he's a teenager at school and like if Burnley got beat, he's going to get loads of banter and stuff like that kind of thing. It's like, it'll be weird because you'll sort of be probably retired by the time they go to secondary school, unless you have some sort of real fucking 41-year-old resurgence. What's your plan after football? Have you got a plan after football of what you'll be doing and things like that?
Not yet, no. I want to have a few things in mind and nothing set in stone, but I have options to do and want to spend time with kids. That's a big thing. I want to have that time to... Because I don't get the weekends to play and stuff, and we're away a bit of time. But yeah, it'd be nice to have that time to spend with kids and family and take the kids to sporting occasions and stuff and do that.
One thing you always miss out on as a footballer is Christmas, right?
Yeah.
Because that's obviously the biggest day for the family of the year. And you have to, like, train on Christmas Day and you have to... How much does it affect you? You're playing the next day. So how much does it affect your Christmas Day?
It's not the same, It's not the same as what it would be, I guess. We actually, this year, we got Christmas Day off. I think that's the first time I've ever had it off because our game got postponed on the Boxing Day.
Oh, yeah.
But I ended up being ill the night anyway, so I didn't really make the most of it. But so you can't really enjoy it as much. So that'd be a nice thing to look forward to, I think, you know, spending time, you know, the build up to Christmas as well is very good and fun and as you remember it anyway.
Because I find that we gig a lot of weekends on Saturdays and weekends and stuff. So, Mondays are normally my sort of days off. And when the kids go into school, that's what I found difficult is when the kids are in school and it's Monday to Friday, Saturdays and Sundays become so important because they're the only days the kids are around to see them and stuff like that. But then when you're away, if you're playing football or gigging, it is hard because obviously the travelling you do is all over the place, isn't it? And stuff, you know. And how do Burnley get to games? Are they, you know, some clubs are flying? Are you on trains? Are you on coaches? Or are you flying to the... How do you get about?
No, we just bus it everywhere. 7 hours, 8 hours on the bus.
Is it?
No.
I don't know. I don't know what the Daesh rules are.
Yeah. Used to be. No, we train. Train, sometimes we fly, but very rarely.
Train it, yeah.
Yeah, usually train, but away nights in a hotel are, you know, quite nice, quite enjoyable. Oh.
Do you still have to share a room?
We're not allowed to at the minute.
Because of COVID?
Yeah, but I don't think I would anyway at the minute. Quite enjoy it on my own.
So you do stay in a hotel before every game. So there's never a situation where you're like, up with a kid at 4 a.m. and you're like, mate, I'm playing Liverpool tomorrow. Go to sleep.
I've got a Mark Salah. I don't give a shit how tired your kid is.
No, yeah, I spare room it on a home game. Yeah. But even then, you can sort of hear the kids if they're up in the night.
Yeah.
You're aware of it.
Oh, mate.
Shut up.
And is your partner a bit resentful? She understanding of that? Because Lou will always go, you've got a busy day tomorrow, look after the kids. But I will be reminded that she looked after the kids in the morning before that busy day.
No, she's very, very understanding now, Jess. A little bit. it's hard because on the day before a game and the day of a game, she's constantly looking after the kids.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sort of focused on the game, and then I played the game, and I'm knackered on my day off the next day. But I've got to be with the kids, and you know, try and make up for it. So I try and do that a lot, you know, and try and make up for her being with the kids for the 2 days.
Yeah, that's what we do. Sort of trade off.
Yeah, she's really good.
Have you had any sort of like long injuries when you've had the kids at home? I've done all the ligaments in my ankle, and I was like, off work, and we had like a 2-month-old and a 2-year-old, and Lou was furious. And at one point, walked into the other room, and I was there, my foot up, and can you get me a glass of water like that? And she walked in holding a baby while the other one was crying around her legs, and went to me, "You need to get better or die."
I've had anything too serious, but I had my shoulder recently.
Yeah.
And I was taking tablets to try and sort of ease the pain and stuff. And I couldn't use it for 3 or 4 weeks around the house. So I was trying, because I wanted to play games and stuff. Yeah. I was strapping it up for games and trying to get through games. And I thought, like, I can't change the nappies. I can't, you know, I just couldn't do it.
No
so,
way.
So, I was playing on it a little bit. But yeah, so I need to get it right.
I need to get it right. Exactly.
When I was a kid and I was watching football, and kid players would just move between teams, you don't think any of it. And then when you grow up, you go, God, it's a huge decision. Say you get to the end of this contract and then Southampton offer for you, and that would be a huge move for your family and all that kind of stuff. How much does it come into footballers' minds, these kind of career moves will affect their family? Because obviously you're a one-club man for the last kind of 10 years, but that's so rare.
Yeah, no, I've been lucky. I've been really lucky to sort of, like I say, commute to where I am, less than an hour away. So, but I do know players that commute 3-4 hours because the family are in a certain spot and settled and going to school and doing all that. So it is a big upheaval. I think for anyone with family moving, isn't it? It's a big upheaval. So it's no different to our line of work, that if a player moves from one end of the country to another, it's still a big commitment.
Is there pressure from clubs that they need to move closer, like if they are 4 hours away? Because it does affect you. If you're driving, or, you know, even if you're getting driven and you're getting up, picked up at 5 in the morning to get to training at 9:10, you know, it's not good for you, is it? It's not good for your body to rest, is it?
No, definitely. I know one of our lads is an hour and a half away and he gets put under pressure to move.
Really?
He gets put under pressure. He's not got any kids either. He could just easily move.
He just doesn't like the area. He just doesn't want to...
He likes what he likes. I think players sometimes try and keep it quiet.
Yeah.
Where they're commuting from or how far they are.
Or they'll go, I've got a flat. I've got a flat nearby, near the training ground. Right, and I'll stay at the flat before training, and then I'll go back at weekends on time off, and then they're booting it home with an empty flat.
Yeah, exactly.
Because Crouchy did that. Did Crouchy play with you at Burnley for a season, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. He trained it up.
Yeah, he got the train every time from London, wasn't it?
Yeah, he did, yeah. What a bloke he is.
That's insane.
That is mental.
Paul Merson did that in Middlesbrough. He used to get the train. When Paul Merson moved to Middlesbrough, he stayed in London.
He'd
get the train up and down. And you're like, that is not an existence, is it?
No, it's crazy.
Well, no, but I think Paul Merson had bigger problems than that. I don't think the long train journey was the issue.
He didn't even have a young person's rail card at that point, Robbie, no, exactly. So it's a terrible story.
I've seen a lot of younger footballers go out and about and, you know, and celebrate after games and stuff. Is there a pressure on you to sort of go and be part of the, you know, the team spirit at all, especially as a captain, to go out on those nights out when you've got kids and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm lucky I'm where I am because we've got parents nearby, babysitters on tap. So we can go and do it. But I've organised a couple of family days as well when we can all get together and do that as a captain. I feel like I should be organising things like that. So
what happens on the family days?
Basically all the ones with the families are running around after the kids, and then the other ones that without the families are just, you know, separate, sat away and just watching us all do our thing with the kids, I guess.
It's almost like being a bit of a dad, isn't it, being a team captain though, isn't it? Of loads of like teenage, like that fatherly role, isn't it?
No, it is. And like I say, we've got quite an experienced group with the younger boys and that and stuff, but people, even the older lads are still coming to me sometimes with the most ridiculous things that you've got to try and sort out, or asking questions that really don't need answering.
What kind of things are they asking for?
I can't think on the spot.
There's definitely one that's in your head now. There's definitely one that's...
No.
You won't say rather than... You can't.
Yeah, that's probably more like it, yeah.
Is there anything, like, you use as a team captain that you, like, the leadership of being a team captain, have you transferred any of those skills to try and keep your kind of children in line?
I guess so, yeah. I guess you kind of do. I don't know an example, but I think you do take it across with you. I think, you know, sometimes when I'm playing football with Jacks as well, you're trying to put across that side of it as well a little bit. But I don't really know in sort of what sense.
Do you wear your captain's armband when you're playing with him?
Oh, yeah, all the time. All the time.
Let him know he's boss.
2 points.
Are you in charge of the fines and stuff for the players if they're late and stuff like that? Is that the captain's job at Burnley to sort of go, like, you turned up, that's the money for the... Because a lot of clubs, the captain's in charge and there's different fines for different things they do wrong and it all goes into a kitty for the end of that charity or a big party, isn't it?
Yeah, we have a kitty and that's why I take charge of the kitty. And then obviously there's any charity ones as well that we divvy out, and sometimes the gaffer takes one for a charity of his choice as well. We have like a spin thing, so we spin a wheel.
Yeah.
So like for fines, and then we have amounts on it and to charity and to the kitty and things like that, to the staff kitty and stuff.
Oh, okay. So what are your fines? So if you're late for training, what's the fine, or would it just go on the spin?
Late for training, you'd have to probably spin a few times, like 3 times, 5 times maybe.
What's the highest number on the spinner?
250, I think is the highest, maybe 350. Yeah. And then you've got a times two as well. So if you get a times two and then you get that and you have to spin again, and then if you get like a £250, you obviously double it. And that's probably the highest thing you can get.
That's great fun to watch though, isn't it? If someone's late, like, getting the spinner out.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, it's good fun. We used to have forfeits, which was better. So we used to have to sing or tell a joke. We had to tell a joke still actually, but we used to have to sing or dress up as Elvis or do something stupid like that. So
yeah.
There must be points when you're in the nursery run and your kid's kicking off and you're like, mate, I'm not dressing as Elvis because you won't put on your coat. Come on.
Yeah, dragging him down the path. Yeah, definitely.
There's 350 quid on this, mate. Get him to nursery.
Yeah, right.
Have you been caught out with fines because of the kids and stuff like that? Or is that a get-out-of-jail-free card if the kids are kicking off? You know, you can't, like, turn up a bit late and go, here's your Elvis costume. I'm like, she went into labour 4 months early, mate. No, you know the rules. Put on the Elvis outfit.
Yeah, I've tried playing that card, but it don't work. So it don't no work sympathy. But, like, yeah, to take Jackson to nursery in the morning sometimes, you know, trying to get him out of the house and, and get his breakfast down on him and stuff and you know, knowing that I'm right on the wire of getting there on time or not. It's quite stressful.
This episode is brought to you by Rakuten. If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Samsung, Expedia, and Sephora. And even stack sales on top of cash back. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Yeah, you know you need protein to fuel results, but it's not easy when you're drinking the same bland, chalky shake every day. Stop punishing yourself and get to GNC for the best protein in the game, including all the hottest brands and crave-worthy flavors that'll keep you coming back for more. We're talking protein that legit tastes like cookies, your favorite cereals, indulgent desserts, and more. So bust out of your protein rut and actually look forward to those shakes with unbeatable protein at unbeatable prices. Fuel your fitness with protein at GNC.
When I'm at work occasionally, and I think every parent that's at work while the other parents left with the kids will have this, you'll get a text from your partner saying, you know, this is an absolute nightmare, I'm having a terrible time. And you're like, I've had that 4 minutes before live TV shows. you're thinking, I've got to mark Phil Foden. And then the next thing you know, your phone goes and it's your wife going, mate, I can't get him to bed. This is an absolute nightmare.
Yeah, so if we're at the 3 o'clock kickoff, we usually FaceTime them beforehand.
Yeah.
So about 11-ish or something like that, I'll FaceTime and I'll just see chaos going on in the house. And then she's like, is that me? Going mad. And I'm like, right, I'll see you later. I've got a game to play. So just cut it short. And it depends on how it's going.
Are phones banned then in the dressing room from a certain time? Or could you check your phone at half time in a match?
No, I won't do that. No. I just want to switch off and not think about anything other than the game. Yeah. But no, for in the hotel or for to get to the stadium, lads are calling the families or whatever, and making sure tickets are all right as well and stuff, and make sure everyone's sorted for tickets and things. Yeah, so that's all going on.
Do some players check their phone then at half time? Or is it just not allowed? Is it the dumb thing?
I can't think of many people that do it.
I'd be tempted, if you've got a booking. And you're like, I swear I didn't fucking touch him. I swear. Because now you can literally go on Twitter and find it in seconds.
I genuinely, when you said that, Rob, I thought you meant like for a restaurant. Like, I'm not sure I'm going to make it tonight for 7 p.m.
It's going to extra time, so I'll have to push it back.
I thought you meant that as well.
No.
You score a worldie. Just want to go and check it and that stuff.
Yeah, guys, look at this. Yeah. Watch this. This is what I just did.
That's not really a massive problem for you, though, Ben, is it? No offence. That's not really your game.
No, you're not wrong.
11 goals? You've scored 11 goals, man.
Yeah, in about 400 games. So. Yeah, it's not my forte.
Have you got any other questions, Josh, before we finish with the final one?
Yeah, I did want to just... What I really respect is when we were talking to you about your daughter being born and you're like, I'm more than happy to talk about it and I feel like... I'd talk about any time. And did you feel like a duty, having been through that, to talk about this so that other people have that as a resource, maybe, if they're going through it? And is there that feeling for you as a kind of public figure?
Yeah, definitely. Something that I wished that was there at that time was somebody speaking about it and just to sort of hear someone's story, positive story, really, about it and stuff. So I feel like me speaking about it gives somebody that little bit of hope. At the end of it, it can be okay. A little bit like with David Silva and me speaking to him. Hopefully for them, that's sort of reading what I've been through. And I've done a few articles and calls on it as well. So I felt a bit of responsibility to do that as well. I wanted to do it as well. I find it a bit sort of therapy for me as well, talking about it as well and getting cathartic. It off the chest as well. So yeah, definitely so.
And if there's anyone listening to this that is going through that, is there anywhere you'd send them to, any websites or any organisations that sort of work with that? Is there anywhere they could go?
Yeah, well, I've been doing a lot of work with Tommy's charity. They have a Twitter.
And what is it? Sorry, Tommy's?
Yeah, Tommy's. TOMMYS.
And you work with them?
Yeah, they do a lot of work with families all throughout, premature birth, miscarriages, stillbirths, and any sort of bereavement with babies and support through that as well. So do a fantastic job as well.
Oh, brilliant. That's a great shout. That's Tommy's charity. Tommy's.org, I think the website is.
Yeah, sure.
You're so good at Googling, Rob. I didn't even see your fingers move.
Oh, mate, I'm all over it, don't I? I'm like, in like a thriller, I'm like the bloke in the van on the computer doing all the hacking. They just upload shit well quick. Then pull USBs out without checking. Fuck it, I'll do it for one. And then the final question, is there one thing about the way your wife parents that annoys you that you don't really want to bring up in case you have a row? Or is she absolutely perfect in every way, Ben?
Oh, she is perfect in every way.
Yeah, of course. That goes without saying.
I guess one thing is, when your kid falls over or bangs himself and that, and she does this intake of breath the kid's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
And they hear that and the terror on the face and they think, have I hurt myself? And then they start crying and they're absolutely fine. But she has a tendency to do that or make them noise that.
You're in a ditch. No way.
Oh my God, that must really hurt. You're not crying. Are you sure about that?
I'm glad she wasn't there for that
anyway. I know, fair enough. Ben, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk to you.
Ben, it's been so nice to talk to you.
No, thank you. Yeah, appreciate it.
Good luck with the rest of the season.
Thank you.
Yeah, good luck. I think you've got a good run. I think we'll be all right, Burnley.
New striker. Yeah, we need to get out of it. So, yeah, we'll be all right.
I can't believe I'm saying this because I went to Turf Moor and watched Plymouth get relegated in 1998 and I've hated Burnley ever since, but you turned me around.
Good man.
Just 24 years it took me, but now I'm all right with Burnley.
Cheers, Ben. Thanks so much.
Cheers, Ben.
Cheers, guys. Appreciate it.
Ben Mee there. I love Ben Mee.
What a lovely bloke. I'm now going to be following Burnley for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I want him to stay up now because of Ben Mee. Yeah, it's such a switched-on lovely bloke, isn't he?
Yeah.
And also, I'm a bit frustrated that I got pulled up by a Premier League footballer for not saying boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, what does that make me?
You're not as woke as a footballer, Rob.
With these stiff necks playing at the back, just edging all the time, rock hard neck. He was right to correct me. But yeah, he's what a lovely bloke. And that is so brutal what they've been through. I think, that I mentioned it, but you can see why the country's so angry when everyone's got a story like that of being in the hospital or being at funerals or horrible life events where you were doing the right thing and sticking by the rules and when other certain people weren't. And it is infuriating because that must have been such a tough time for him and his wife and family.
But I'm going to say it now, Rob. I had a lovely evening singing Dancing Queen at number 10. And I just...
Carrie really... makes the best volivants. Yeah, what a legend Ben Mee is. Hopefully, yeah, I'll be willing on Burnley to win the league. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Just sort of survive the league.
That's never going to happen. It was tommies.org is the charity, he said, which would be good to get in touch.
We'll give that a shout out. It's on Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, it's sort of just helping people with baby loss and things like that. So, yeah, great charity to support. Well done, Ben Mee. And, Josh, I'll see you on Tuesday.
See you on Tuesday. Goodbye.
Bye.
I'll tell you what's upset me now. Why is it £2.50 to cross the Dartford Crossing? It's a bridge. You know, I shouldn't have to pay £2.50 to cross a bridge. I'd rather swim. And also, why do you get fined when you forget to pay it? You have to remember to pay it. You are getting fined for failing a memory test. It should be illegal.
I tell you what I can't stand. Loud typists in cafes on trains. How hard do you need to hit the keyboard? Sounds like you're smashing it with a sledgehammer. What about people that run down the park with their prams? What are you doing? yoga in public. Stop it.
These are the sort of things that upset us. And we talk about them on our podcast, What's Upset You Now, which is back every Tuesday and Thursday. We have a guest on every Tuesday, and previous guests have included
Ramesh Ranganathan, Catherine Ryan, Jack D,
Rob Beckett, Stuart Lee, Mark Lamar. Out every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you usually get your podcast, What's Upset You Now is back.